It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And I keep kind of circling back around to truth. Hey, I'm growing my beard again. Even my grandkids said beard, Grandpa. Even my grandkids. So I'm working on getting that thing back. Truth. What a great theme, because ultimately that is the battle that we all fight. Truth. I'm just kind of curious. Whatever your theology is, where did you learn it? I remember when I got saved. I got saved at World Harvest Church. I was raised Catholic. Catholics had, as far as I know, never heard or never. I was never encouraged to read the Bible in the Catholic Church. I never was. Maybe some of you were. I'm not poking fun at Catholics. I was never encouraged to read the Bible. Sometimes the priest would, you know, we would do the responses and, you know, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. Been 3 weeks since my last confession. Blah, blah, blah. Apostles' Creed. I could do all the responses when the priest would say something and we would respond to. I could do all that stuff, but I never read the Bible, never did. And then all of a sudden I got saved, World Harvest Church. Actually, I got saved at the Billy Graham Crusade, Jet Stadium, 1964. I was 12 years old. Went forward, and my sister pointed out to me the other day that my two older brothers, they went through all kinds of growing pains. Would that be good to say in their teenage years growing up? Went through a lot of growing pains. And I was always Mr. Straight-Laced. Always was. Never drank. I was straight, man. Straight as an arrow. And even though I was saved at 12, excuse me, it's like so many happen in big crusades like that. I was hooked. And I was pulled up on the beach, and then I was left to rot. Nobody ever discipled me from that time on. And my sister said, did you ever stop and consider that maybe you didn't get lured into all that darkness that your brothers did because you were sealed in 1964? Didn't really become real to you, but when you said that prayer, God honored it. Even though you didn't understand what it was, the Lord honored your prayer. And he sealed that foundation in you. And then 21 years later, when you doubled back around at World Harvest Church and you heard the gospel in a way that it hit you. Wow. Radically transformed my life. Boom. Radically. Overnight. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't even understand it. But I knew something had really. I remember vividly going to school that next day. I was a school teacher, Heath High School. I remember going to school that next day and sitting beside my friend Dave Klontz and trying to explain to Dave Klontz what had happened to me. I couldn't. But one of the things that happened to me, and you take the good with the bad, or you take whatever it is, I hunkered down there at World Harvest Church for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. And I started hearing about stuff out of Revelation and about the rapture coming and being left behind and all that kind of stuff. And I was 38 years old. I'd never heard any of that stuff. And I didn't understand it. I believed it, but I didn't understand it. I just took his word for it. Why would he lie to me? Well, he wasn't lying. He wasn't lying to me. I came to understand that there are different theological beliefs. Now, you would think as an unsaved man that I would understand that there's different theological beliefs. Those are Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Methodists. Right? Yeah, you would think that the average guy would be smart enough to understand that they're not all teaching the same thing. They don't all believe the same thing. Now, hopefully they all believe the essential Christian doctrines, which maybe we ought to talk about that some. Got an email from Mel this weekend. Hope Mel's in. I'm not putting you on the spot, Mel. And I got thinking about something. You know, I read emails, and when people send stuff to me, I take them seriously. I don't say, oh, who's this guy? What's he saying to me? And Mel kind of asked a question about, you know, where are you heading here, Coach? Where are you heading here? He's not in here. Mel, I'm not talking about you, buddy. I wish you were in here. I'm looking at the queue. I don't see him anyway. He's usually listening. So I'm not talking about you. I'm grateful that you sent me that email. Got me thinking. And the thought is that what he was trying to focus on, what are you trying to do here? Right? What are you trying to do here with Coach Dave Lyon? That's what got me going. That's what got me thinking. So as this awakening began to take place in my own life about all these different, God, you mean we don't all believe the same thing? What? You mean Methodists and Lutherans, they don't, what? I realized that I was deeply embedded in, I'm not making this up, I'm just being as gut honest. And I always want people who join this show to know this, okay? Coming back to Mel, I am not a theologian, folks. I'm not a theologian, okay? And when I come here in the mornings, I try to get us to think, okay? You don't have to agree with me. And you don't get any more brownie points if you do. Because there are guys in the queue here who don't agree with me that I love like my own brothers. So this is not about you got to agree with me. If you agree with me, you get moved up higher on the authority structure. If you think that, then you don't know me very well. But I came to realize, I've been wanting to do this. Lord's going to let me do this. I've been wanting to do this quite a while. I've come to realize that there's a lot of stuff that a lot of people taught me that I don't think is true today. I don't think they're bad people. I think they believed a belief system and they taught the belief system. And because they believed it the way they believed it, they didn't even look outside the box. I've lost friends over the fact that I even mentioned the Nephilim because their theology has a different description for it. When you get down to Genesis, what is it? Genesis 6. Go there real quick, Jared. Genesis 6. I'm going to kind of show you. Just kind of show you what I want you to see here. Excuse me. A little frog. There were giants in verse 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. I'm telling you, I have people who've quit watching me, watching this show because I talked about this. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after, that when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, I'm going to stop right there. The number of excuses people can come up with for that verse right there is unbelievable. Someone say, well, who are the sons of God? What does it mean to come into? What does it mean, the mighty men? What does that mean? And so they build a theology. They don't want to believe that there were giants, so they build a theology that proves that there aren't giants. I'm not here to debate whether there were giants or not. When I heard the word Nephilim, I know I'm talking to somebody. I know some of you out there are with me on this. When I first heard the word Nephilim, I thought, are you kidding? What? What the heck are you talking about, right? And then I just did a little bit of research on it. So, wow, how come they never told me that? Huh. And I wonder, oh, Lord, I've been wanting to do this for a while. And I wondered if Zeus and Hermes and they'd throw me out of church, see if they knew I was thinking this way. Because I don't know. But see, this opened up unbelievable sense of possibilities to me that I'd never thought about. And I wanted to explore them. And I went to pastors and talked to them, and most pastors could not and would not talk about that verse because they couldn't explain it. And because they couldn't explain it, they wanted to put it out of their mind like it wasn't there. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Where did Goliath come from? That's how my mind worked. This was out without anybody teaching me, without anybody coaching me, without reading anybody's theology, which, by the way, is what I try to do here. I try to read a verse, see what's that mean? What's that mean? It made my faith come alive. Really made it come alive and began to think, boy, there's a lot more in this book they haven't told us. There's a lot of stuff. You know, I can pick up this book and I can read it on my own. I still won't get all of it.
Because I'm going deep.
Deep. I'm ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, I'm ever learning and I'm still wondering, Lord, where are we all missing? How are we missing so much of this, Lord? And you know this, folks, and I know this, we all know this, that a modern American Christianity is not the Christianity of the 1500s or the 1200s or the 800s or the 500s. It's not the same Christianity. This isn't even the same Christianity of the 1900s, of the 1990s and the 1950s. Folks, this isn't even the same Christianity. It is at the root of it, at the heart of it. It isn't. It isn't. So I ask a question, what's going on? What's going on, Lord? And Lord, if you don't mind, I'm going to peek outside this book at some other stuff and be okay with you, Lord. Because I know this. You promised me that your Holy Spirit would guide me into all truth. And I believe that I can pick up a secular book and you'll guide me into truth as to whether that's true or not. And I believe that for the most part, my Christian brothers and sisters don't do that. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I say it's hogwash. Because we don't believe what he said. Or we wouldn't be in the mess that we're in today. So part of the thing that Mel asked me, which was really good. Again, Mel, I'm not talking about you, man. I wish you were in here. Coach, what are you trying to do? What's the focus of what you're trying to do? I'm not a theologian. I'm not a pastor. I'm not trying to build a following. I'm trying to get people to engage their faith. And in all the things that I got going on, I got some emails this weekend. Why don't you, Christians, why don't you just leave the NFL alone and get people saved? Right now, right where you're sitting right now, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to do this, okay? Do this for me. I want you to raise your hand with a number of fingers. You can use both hands if you want to. The number of people that you know personally you brought salvation to. Okay, go ahead and put them up there. Because like Larry's like 70, I'm guessing, and I look down the names here. Van Story, he's in his 50s, I would assume. Joe Farrell, probably in his 70s, guessing. Joe Allen's in his late 50s, early 60s. I'm just reading names. Jeff Klein's in his late 50s. Maybe he might be 60 now. Glenn's probably pushing 60. How many of you saved? You've been here. How long and how many of you saved? And all those people out there talking about just getting people saved. Go ahead, hold your hands up. Show me how many you got. One a year, I could name 60. I can name 60. No, I can because I didn't start till I was 30. 35. So I can name, I ought to be able to name 32. I ought to be able at least just one a year, I ought to be able to name 32. I'm looking at your fingers.
Well,
Christianity's Coach, if Christianity's just about getting people saved, show me your fingers.
Coach, that's apples and oranges. We may the Holy Spirit may have used us that the Holy Spirit draws them in and saves them, but we ain't saved it. I ain't saved a turtle.
Isn't that something, huh? So in other words, getting people saved might just be a byproduct of what you do and what you say and where you go. And the example that you set, the example that you live out, may cause others to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to question why they're not doing more and as a result find Christ? And here's a good question. How many people sitting in the church claim to be saved and ain't never had any fruit at all? It's interesting, isn't it? And see, I think we're trapped in theology. I think we're stuck in the theology trap. I think that's been the greatest deception of the Lord. No, I'm sorry, of the evil one against the Lord is deceptions, lies and deceptions. Believing things that aren't true and not believing things that are. And being closed-minded to say, are you going to start talking about those giants? I'm leaving. Okay, why? Why don't you stay and show me where I'm wrong? That would be the better way to do it. You don't have to agree with me. Hey, listen, if you don't start talking about how wrong Trump is, how Trump is just part of the Mossad, if you don't start talking about that, I'm not tuning in again. Okay, well, come on in and convince me. Come on in and convince me. Because I got into one of those arguments today, and I asked the same question I ask everybody else every time I get into one of these fights. Does anybody know what that question is? Here it is. Right now, today, who would you replace him with? Now, don't say Ted Cruz, because you can't replace Donald Trump with Ted Cruz today. You can't do it. You can't do it. If Donald Trump is removed, who's the next president? It's Mike Pence. And if it's not Mike Pence, it's Nancy Pelosi. You just can't go out and pluck somebody you want and put in there. So in the situation we're in right now today, who do you want in there other than Trump? And they say, I can't stand to listen to you. You're so blindly loyal to Trump. You're an idiot if you say that. You're an idiot. You don't listen. I think Trump, I'd like to grab Donald Trump by his orange hair with his view on homosexuality. I think it is so wrong. So wrong. So grievously wrong to this nation. But can I tell you the truth? His view isn't any different than Hillary's. His view isn't any different than George W. Bush's. George W. Bush just didn't say it. They all believe the same lie.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Coach, when we create a box, and we have to, and we put out there big predictions and all of what we think it fits in this box, then that limits us. It makes us run everything through that narrative, whether it's right or wrong, or else to make it work. Even that's what we're doing. That's Randy, what theology worse, has done.
Even worse than that, Randy, they won't examine it if they it's not in their box.
And Coach, and with Trump, yes. With Donald Trump, if I make a statement and I say he's part of Zionism, well, okay, that stops everything else. If he does anything good, I say, oh, well, it can't be true because he's a Zionist. Yep. It stops us from telling the truth down the road.
Amen. And Randy, Donald Trump's going to be president if he's lucky for 6 more years. He's not a king, right? He's not a king. And I get so people tired. I had a guy faith said, I defriended you on Facebook because you are, you're blind Trump supporter. I thought, well, I ain't blind. I'm not blind. I see what's going on, dude. I see what's going on a lot better than you do. I don't want to argue about Trump. I'm making a point, okay? And the point is doubling back because Mel's prompted me. God bless you, Mel. I'm not talking about you. I appreciate your email. What's your purpose, Coach? What's your purpose? What makes you guys tune in here every day? Bobby Lee, do you tune in there every day just because I'm your Coach Dave sycophant and everything I say is true? Is that what it is? Dale, Don Voss, Gail. Gail's in here every morning. Glenn, same guys are in. A lot of people in this. Are you just in here because you're one of my acolytes, one of my followers, you're one of my little minions, one of my little tin soldiers? Is that what... Because if that's what it is, man, go someplace else. I don't want that. I hope you come here because you're challenged. I hope you come here because I make you think. I hope you come here because you're meeting other like-minded people who are also on their way to heaven, questioning every step as they go. Somebody help me. Am I missing something?
Well, my thought is on it, Dave, if you're a church group or something along those lines and you're not talking about the Giants, then you're doing a disservice to everybody that's within the group.
Thanks, Chad. Thanks. Thanks, because we're not all the same place, are we? We're not all the same place theologically, friends. There are people tuning in new to this show every time. So let's say somebody tunes in. They just tuned in, let's say, after the thing with the NFL last week. They just now tuned in, and they're just now starting. So should I change me and our program because I don't want to turn them off, the new followers? I don't want to turn them off. Or do I keep hammering because Chad wants more of it? And Randy wants more of it. And Bobby wants more of it. And Dale wants more of it. And Larry wants more of it. And guys, I want more of it. They're not idolizing me. They're not following me. They like the dynamic that's at work here, that you can bring up something here and we don't all have to agree with it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Discipleship.
Discipleship.
Where do you go for a discipleship? What happens after you're saved? The reason that I was searching is because the church wasn't feeding me. I was starving. I was saved, quote, saved, but I didn't know what to do, and I wasn't being taught. I come here to be taught.
Let me tell you why, Mike. You were that way because you had knowledge beyond the scripture. You were seeing what was going on in whatever field you were in, and you're saying, "Dad, come on, there must be something deeper in this body. Right?
Yep.
I think that's healthy, I think it's healthy. Because it's just as there is a deep state, there's a deep state in the church too, folks. You think not, you try to question the direction your pastor's taking your congregation. You go to your pastor and you ask him about the Giants. Huh? Just start there. And you'll find out how much of a box you're stuck in.
I think each of us probably have a reason or why we tune in. You know, I knew something was wrong in the church. I got tired of sitting there every Sunday listening to a sermon, but not applying it in real life. And then I saw how you were a doer, and that motivated me. It motivated me and showed me that there's more to just sitting in a pew.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So let me show you this, because I take great pride in this.
Amen, and amen.
Hey, Jared. Sorry, I'm going to do this to you. Pull up, it says Stephanie. I got an email from Stephanie today. This is what keeps me going. She said, Coach, I came out, Coach, I came out. On my Facebook page. Go to my Facebook page. Well, she typed that. I think that's kind of what it sounded like. Look at that. 49 minutes ago, down bottom, Jared. Right there. She comes out. She tipped for the first time, telling the truth about her abortion. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. She's free. That shame and that guilt of that abortion will never hold her again. It'll never hold her again. She'll be able to confess it, and she's free of it. I did this. It was wrong. I'm moving on because of Christ. That's real power. Watch out for her now. Now, I'm not showing this because whatever, but if you want to take some time and read it, go to Stephanie College's Facebook page and read her testimony there about killing her baby and what happened to her. And now she's been hiding it. She's been hiding. It's shameful. Women are ashamed of it. Nobody's proud they killed their baby. When we go to women's marches, we go to the abortion clinics, they're doing everything they can to cover up the pain. They know it's wrong. That's why they get so mad. And I've said for years that the greatest weapon against the abortion industry is the post-abortive woman who will stand up and say, I did this. They lied to me. It destroyed my life for a while, but now I'm beyond it thanks to Jesus. But whoever tells you that that abortion will make your life better, they are lying to you. And women won't do it because they're in shame. They're in shame.
Hey, Coach.
This is the kind of stuff. Abortion needs to stop. My body, my voice needs to stop. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, just why I tune into this show because I got tired of being around a bunch of sissified Christians who tried to be nicer than Jesus.
Amen. Well, amen, Gary. And we definitely are not that here. You don't have to be. You don't have to be. I'm just trying to show you there's another side of Christianity. Hey, folks, listen. I can go be Mr. Lovey, Lovey, Lovey. I can go feed bread. I can go rub people on the back. I can go pray with people. I can do that. I can do that. In fact, I might build a bigger ministry if I were to do that. If I was more loving and more caring and more everybody feel good, I might build a bigger ministry. But it wouldn't be effective into doing what I have been called to do.
Well, Coach, from a pastor's perspective, I have so much to add into this, but I'm just going to say I've known you for a long time. And when I think about the hundreds and thousands of meals that we have fed through the floods, the homes that we were rebuilding, brother, you have been there. A lot of people want to say that they love and everything, but you have demonstrated that love. And the balance is that there is a balance between the prophetic ministry and mercy ministry. And brother, you have carried that mantle very well. And a lot of people don't understand that, but you have affected many lives, whether through the prophetic or whether through the ministry. Now, I will say this. I don't join the show every morning because I'm a soldier who lines up. I heard Rusty say this, and I said it to Rusty a year ago. I'm not an abolitionist. I'm not a pro-lifer. I'm not an OSA-er. I'm not a past assaulter. I am not branded. I have been bought with a price.
Amen, buddy.
By the blood of Jesus. And he said this at the abolitionist conference, and he said, I am a Christian first. And brother, you have created what I love every morning is the fellowship of the believers. And that's what it is.
Amen. Thanks, Dale. That's my heart. Hey, Jared, Mel, listen, I wish Mel was in there. Cause I think he awakened something in me and I didn't take it. Jared, go to my Facebook page real quick. Jared. Website. Go to the website real quick. And Jared, click on, I think maybe it says about, cause I want to pull up my mission statement. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I want to build on what Dale just said for a minute because it is so important. You know,
when we
allow ourselves to associate with labels, groups, or anything else, we allow the part of the scripture that says what's in your heart comes out of your mouth to demonstrate it itself. Now, when we're describing ourselves or people ask us about ourselves or something like that, if anything other than a child of God through Jesus Christ comes out of our mouth, then we have put whatever else comes out of our mouth as a smaller God in front of God.
Well, Larry, it reveals our heart.
Does come out of our mouth.
That's right. It reveals our heart. If you identify yourself as a Methodist, when somebody asks you, what religion are you? And you say, Baptist, dudes, come on. Right. Okay. So again, after talking to Mel, I said to my wife, yeah, maybe I wavered off course a little bit. You know, I'm working on Sky High, and I've got the NFL. By the way, that fight came to me. I didn't pick that fight. And what? So I went to the mission statement, down to the bottom. Go down, Jared. Scroll down a little bit there, my face without a beard. Up a little bit, bud. Right there. Now, here's what I read. Oh, a little bit higher, Jared. There. As a result of this battle experience, second paragraph, Jared. Coach heard the call to move out of coaching a high school team to the job of coaching God's team. Past Assault was formed to encourage the body of Christ to step into the cultural war. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Past Assault is convinced that God has given the body a window of opportunity to take our culture back. This is 20 years old. Past Assault's committed to bringing together the body of Christ across denominational, racial, and economic borders to demonstrate to America the power of biblical unity. Our vision is to unite, organize and mobilize the armor of God to be salt and light, as stated in Matthew 15:5-13. Said 12, I got it wrong. Challenging the church of the status quo, Past Assault's calling Christians to engage the culture by taking the fight to the enemy. Coach Dobman has become a recognizable voice, yada, yada, yada. But one more thing I wanted to see. Coach is using his last paragraph. Coach is using his knowledge of education, educational issues to equip Christians to defend the Judeo-Christian worldview. A popular higher speaker, Coach Dobman, is laced with scriptures, are challenging Americans all across the country. Now, I think I'm doing that. I think that's what I'm doing. I think I've been consistent at doing that. And it appears different ways to different people. Because sometimes you come on the show and it's a Bible study. The next day you tune in and it's a cultural study. The next day you tune in and it's about something special we got going on. Somebody said, what kind of show is it? I don't even know. What kind of show is it? What is this show? I don't know. It's a truth hunt. It's a hunt for the truth. That's what I think. So it is, what Mel brought up is the problem in the American church. Stay with me. Some of you have been going to your church for 30 years, 40 years maybe, and new people come in. Now, do you want your pastor to preach to the new people just came in or to you who's been sitting there for 40 years? And if people are joining this show daily, do I soften it so they are attracted in? When you guys want meat, you don't want, what's that called, shredded chicken. You want steak. You're ready for steak, but I got new people in and I want to give them shredded chicken. You understand? It's a dilemma, man. That's why I can't move away from who I am and what I see as the goal to awaken. What's it say up there? Where was it? Pastor Salt is committed to bringing together by cross the denominational, racial, and economic borders to demonstrate power of biblical unity. One is to unite, organize, mobilize the army of God. That's the army of God's everywhere. Sometimes it's in a denomination. Sometimes it doesn't go to church. It's everywhere. And whatever that body is, I'm trying to bring it together. And if you come in and you're new and you were watching about the NFL, and so you tuned in to watch about the NFL, and I'm too hot for you, then don't watch. Don't watch. Or give it a couple of shows and then don't watch. But I'm not going to change who I am or my delivery to make everybody feel welcome. Listen, I'm not whining, okay? I just think this needs to be said. I think Mel's point was right on. It needs to be said. You know, when I get up here every day and I get ready to, I got Robert's book right here in front of me. And every day I'm preaching to Portia. How long's Portia been here? Huh? Long time. She isn't just some newbie. And she didn't tune in here to get shredded chicken. She tunes in here to get challenged, to get steak. And Larry, man, I got to make sure that when I start talking about it, that I've got the right ingredients on the steak before I give it to Larry, because he's gonna show me where I didn't put some mustard on it, or that I shouldn't put mustard on the steak, right? This isn't for everybody. Come in and connect wherever you are. I'm going to tell you the truth. There were either giants or there weren't. I'm just going to pause there. They're either coming back or they're not. There isn't no, do you get it? And so for some of these things that we're not sure of, why are we afraid to discuss them if we're not sure of them? Okay, I'm going to go there, Lord. Anybody want to say anything before I do? I'm going to introduce something to you. Most of you, I would bet, have never heard of. What's that? Oh, that's something else.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was asked yesterday by a congregant of the worship where I worship at, which asked me to stop going in front of the commissioners and the city council and committees and expressing the concern for the need of Jesus Christ. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So
I'm going to encourage you again. Quit expecting people to accept you. They're not going to. All right? Quit it. They're not going to. They're stuck in a box. How'd they get on city council? It's like what's going down on Oklahoma down there at the State House. They're trying to end abortion. Put all that time and effort and energy down there. And then what happens? Well, the guy doesn't introduce the bill. Why? Because he's phony. He's phony. And I would say this to our friends in Oklahoma. You shouldn't be attacking legislators. You should be attacking pastors. That's what I think. Because if the pastor rose up and helped you do your job, the legislators will follow. But right now, the legislators are sitting in there and they're talking to pastors, and pastors are saying, that Dale Socha is nuts. That Rusty Thomas, he's nuts. Stay far away from him. They don't represent Christianity. So here's this guy, you're out there trying to lobby and get him to do the right thing. And he goes and gets on the phone with his Baptist pastor. His Baptist pastor said, you stay right in there, Harold. You're doing the right thing. Don't worry about those activists out there. They don't represent the body of Christ. That's what's going on. That's why our battle is in the church for the truth, not with elected officials. Come on in. Somebody was saying something.
Amen, Coach. There is no other vehicle in which God is bringing forth his glory but through the body of Christ. And I told him up there, I said, guys, it's a great bill, but I feel like it's a Charlie Brown Lucy moment. She's about to pull the football out from underneath you.
Yep. They did. So, listen, I don't know if I'm doing a good job this morning. I'm feeling good because I've been wanting to say some of this stuff. This job ain't easy. Doing this show isn't easy. I'm just telling you, it isn't easy. And to balance all the balls is not an easy. I thank God that I can do it. So I want to show you something today that most of you probably never ever heard of. I doubled back around. When I got saved at World Harvest Church, all of a sudden, after I'd been there about 3 or 4 years, I realized something that I didn't even know existed. I found out, you ready? You sitting down? I was a dispensationalist. I had to go look it up. I didn't even know what it was. Tulip. Think. Tulip. I was a tulip. Total depravity. Unconditioned. I was a dispensationalist. And even though I'd never ever heard of anything, I heard there was a rapture. They talked about the rapture all the time. Well, I just believed that was part of Christianity. Everybody believed the rapture. And then I started mentioning the rapture. And I ran to some guy and said, what are you talking about? The rapture. And they said, oh, you're dispensationalist, huh? And I thought, what? What? What am I? What? Yeah, you're a Calvinist. What? What? Who's he? What's that? I'm just doing what Pastor Rod said. I don't know where Pastor Rod got it, but I trusted him. I trust Pastor Rod. He wouldn't lead me astray. He's a dispensationalist. I think a Calvinist. No, you have to go be an Arminian. You need to be an Arminian. Really? What is that? Well, they believe this. And Calvinists are wrong. And you got to be an Arminian. Anybody picking up what I'm laying down yet? And all the Arminians are Arminians because they've been going to a church where they've been taught Arminianism. And all the Calvinists are Calvinists because they've been going to a church that teaches them Calvinism. And they point guns at each other and shoot each other. We're right, you're wrong. Bang, 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 bang. That's American Christianity. But along my journey, I'm not... I came across a book called... my brain went dead on me. I'll get it back here. Gary DeMar wrote a book called... Jeez. Doesn't matter. And he came up with, he poked me in the head with something called preterism. What? Raise your hand out there. How many of you have ever even heard of it? Well, better yet, how many of you could explain it? Now, hang on. I don't know what I think about preterism. I don't know what I think about dispensationalism. I don't know what I think about Arminianism. And in fact, if I was pinned down, I don't know. I don't know what I could do. I don't know about I really don't. I was Catholic. I was raised Catholic. I don't know any of that stuff. And nobody told me when I sat down, this is what we're teaching here. This is what we believe. So you ever heard of preterism? You ever been introduced to preterism? Jared, click on preterism. First got questions there. Now listen, I am not trying to guide you to preterism. Please, I just want to do a test right now. Tell me right now if you have never really heard much about preterism. I want to hear somebody say, I haven't.
I haven't, Coach.
I haven't.
Anybody else?
I haven't.
Anybody else?
I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is.
Anybody else?
Same here.
Wouldn't you think it would be important that we would discuss this in Christian circles?
Yeah, see, I've heard of it, Coach.
Okay, so I bet you have heard of it, right?
These guys pretty much think all of Matthew 24, Mark 13, most of Revelation is already history. It's all past.
Hey, Coach, I hadn't heard of it before this show.
Neither have I.
Okay, so I'm not trying to convert you to anything. I'm trying to show you that there are different belief systems out there that we in the body of Christ don't even know that are out there. This one, by the way, is gaining more and more ground. Now, hey, Robert, because I heard you. You said those guys, and they're really deceived or something like that. See, those guys would say you're really deceived. That's part of the problem that we have in Christianity. I'm not being critical, Robert. It's the way we think. I'm a Calvinist and I'm right. You're an Arminian and you're wrong. I'm a dispensationalism and premillennial and post, right? And I'm just trying to be a Christian. I'm just trying to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm trying to figure this whole thing out. So I'm just to show you that I'm not
Amen,
crazy.
Amen, Coach.
The people who are preterists aren't crazy. I go to God. I like God questions because it's pretty much middle of the ground. They just tell you what they've got a little bit of their theology in it. But is it up on the screen there, Jared? Most of you never heard of it. Do your own research. Do your own research on it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But shouldn't we know about it? When somebody brings it up, shouldn't you have some feeling on it? So what is preterist? According to preterism, all prophecy in the Bible is really history. The preterist interpretation of Scripture regards the book of Revelation as a symbolic picture of the first century conflicts, not a description of what will occur in the end times. The term preterism comes from the Latin praeter, meaning past. Thus, preterism is the view that the biblical prophecies concerning the end times have already happened. They're in the past. Preterism is directly opposed to futurism, which sees the end time prophecies as having a still future fulfillment. So let me paint a scenario here for you. Preterists say Matthew 24 has already happened. Calvinists would say Matthew 24 is in the future. That's a big division. Okay? So preterism is divided into two types. Full preterism, I mean, it's all done. Second coming of Christ, it's all done. And partial preterism. And so this article is going to talk about those two things. Preterism denies the future prophetic quality of the book of Revelation. The preterist movement essentially teaches that all the end time prophecies of the New Testament was fulfilled in AD 70. When the temple was destroyed in AD 70, the preterist will say that was the fulfillment of Matthew 24. Remember, Jesus said there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. AD 70 was the destruction of the old Jewish system and the introduction of the new Christian system. This is what preterism teaches. Now, when Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, it is finished, he was saying that old religious system's done. Christianity's here. That's what preterists will teach, okay? Preterism teaches that every event normally associated with the end times, Christ's second coming, the tribulation, the resurrection of the dead, the final judgment, has already happened. In the case of the final judgment, it's still in the process of being fulfilled. Jesus' return to earth was spiritual. His return was a spiritual. He sent his Holy Spirit. That was the second coming of Christ. The preterists will teach. So his return to earth was spiritual, not a physical one. Preterism teaches that the law was fulfilled in AD 70 and God's covenant with Israel was ended. The new heavens and the new earth spoken of in Revelation 21 is, to the preterist, a description of the world under the covenant of which Jesus is now the ruler, the king. Just as a Christian is made a new creation, so the world under the covenant is a new earth. The aspect of preterism can easily lead to belief in a replacement theology. Okay? Hey, folks, listen. Relax. I'm just showing you another view that's out there. Preterists usually point to a passage in Jesus' Olivet Discourse to bolster their argument. After Jesus describes some of the end time happenings, he says, "Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away till all these things have fulfilled." And the preterist believes it happened in 70 AD with the destruction of the temple and the overthrow and the disbar. The Jews fled. That's what they believe happened in AD 70. Now, the problem with preterism are many. For one thing, God's covenant with Israel is everlasting. We could argue that, what that means. And there will be a future restoration of Israel. The Apostle Paul warned against those who, like Hymenaeus and Philetus, teach falsely that the resurrection has already taken place and they destroy the faith of some, 2 Timothy. Jesus mentioned of this generation should be taken to mean the generation that's alive to see the beginning of the end, blah, blah, blah. So eschatology is a complex subject. The Bible uses apocalyptic imagery to relate many prophecies had led to a variety of interpretations of end time events. There is room for some disagreement with Christianity regarding these things. However, full preterism has some serious flaws in that it denies the physical reality of Christ's second coming and downplays the dreadful nature of the tribulation by saying that event already happened before Jerusalem fell. Okay, now, time out. Stop. That's preterism. And if you go to Matthew 24, do that real quick, Jared. Folks, I'm not trying to convince you one thing or another. Please don't think I am. I'm trying to educate you. Now, I want you to, as we read Matthew 24 here, imagine, just try to think in your head, just so you can see where these guys are coming from. Think in your head that this, what Jesus is talking about, is all going to happen before AD 70. Okay? Just believe that for a second. So you get a better understanding of what's going on. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came with him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "Do you see all these things? Verily I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So Jesus is looking at the temple, and he says, "Boys, this thing is going to be destroyed." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and said, "Well, tell us, what do these things be?" Now remember, he's foretelling what's going to happen in 70. Okay? This is about 33 maybe right now. He says, "Tell us what sign shall be. What will the sign of coming in the end of the world?" Jesus said unto him, "Well, take heed and no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, shall deceive many." Well, there's a lot involved here. "And shall hear wars and rumors." We're talking about the 35-year period from when Jesus was crucified to AD 70. Preterists will say all of these things happened in that 35-year period that Jesus was warning about, okay? "Shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence." In this 35-year period he's talking about. This is what the preterists would tell you. "And all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. And then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you." They were slaughtered. We know that, right? The Christians were slaughtered. "You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then you shall be offended, shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and deceive many in this 35-year period. And because inequity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when they say unto you, the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing at a holy place, then let them be who are in Judea. Get out of there. Get out of there. There's trouble coming to Judea." This is what the preterists would teach. "Get out of there. Trouble's coming. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take it in. Get out of there. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto those who are with child, and to them that give suck. Pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither be on the Sabbath day. For then shall be the great tribulation, such as has not ever seen since the beginning of the world. No, nor shall ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake. And for those days shall be shortened. Therefore, any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here's Christ,' there's Christ. Don't believe it. for this shall arise in this 35-year period, false Christs and false prophets and great signs and wonders, and so much as they're possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, they shall say unto you, behold, there he is, go into the desert. Behold, he is in the desert. Don't go there. Behold, he's in secret chamber. Don't believe it. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and sunshine out of the west, so shall also come the Son of Man be. For whosoever wherever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to stop here, okay? They're saying that at 70 AD, boom, the temple was destroyed. This all happened. The Jewish system was over. That is, without going into depth, a preterist view, which is very common in America today. Gary DeMar wrote a book called, I can't believe I can't do it, End Time Madness. End Time Madness. I'd suggest you read that. End Time Madness. Okay, now come on in here and knock me down. Because listen, I'm not telling you that this is true. I'm telling you this is a belief system very much alive in our churches today. And here's the truth. Most of you had never heard of it.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
From what you've said, the preterist view sounds heretical to me.
Why?
Because I can't understand how anyone could think that all those things have already happened when some of these things, such as wars and rumors of wars, among others, are still going on.
Hey, Gary. What if you studied the history from AD 35 to AD 70? Do you think there were wars and rumors of wars then? Do you think there were earthquakes in diverse places then?
Yep, and still going on.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, and once again, it goes to, I know some believers who believe this, and I fellowship with them, because there's the absolutisms, and then there are those things that we can disagree on. To me, when I look at that, and I was aware of it, Matthew in that chapter, verse 7 and verse 14, and then tying in, because you can't build an eschatology, a theology, or an ecclesiology on one passage of scripture. And so when you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is ascending and he says, and this gospel shall go from Jerusalem, Samaria, to Judea, to the uttermost ends of the earth. Not mm-hmm. just that region, but the entire earth. And same thing in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 1. And in verse 14. And so, you know, and I get it because I do know that first century history where Titus came in, he surrounded the temple, bro. He did exactly that. He destroyed the temple. Those people were killing their kids and eating them and everything else. And this is what they talk about, the abomination of desecration. So there was a lot of things that happened in that first 30 years that people, I can understand where they get this, but you can't look at it through that pen eye view. You got to look at all the scripture and tie it all together.
But Dale, you would agree with me that those who hold the preterist view are not idiots.
No.
They're good Christian people.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a different view of end times theology. It's a different time. And so I would say, and the preterists would probably say, that it's up to us to expand the kingdom. That's why we're here. Let's expand the kingdom. That would be the preterist view. Robert, you getting ready there? Now, listen. No, you don't have to be a preterist. No, you don't have to agree with everything we said. No. I'm trying to. Can anybody out there explain Arminianism to me? Can anybody explain it to me? The difference between Arminianism and dispensationalism or Calvinism? Can you explain the difference? And listen. Why should that burden fall on me? I'm not a theologian, but I can read, I can Google, I can watch YouTubes. We should know what all of these views are. Every one of us should. You shouldn't have to call your pastor and ask your pastor about preterism. Because you know what he'll tell you? He'll say, oh, well, we don't believe that. Don't worry about it. We don't believe that. That's... Oh, I love digging for truth. I love digging for truth. I think life's much more fun when everything's not cookie cutter laid out the way that I think it's going to. Who would have ever thought God would use Donald Trump? Come on. Who would have ever thought that he could ever become president of the United States? Who would have ever thought that I could do a video in my car and I'd be on Colbert. Who could have ever thought that? You wouldn't find that in there. Other than the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. You can find that in there. February 17th, Robert. Come on.
All right.
I don't think they're heretical. That's my opinion. I don't think they're heretical.
No, they're not heretical. It's just that if you know the truth in the Word and take it literally and know the Word of God, you won't fall for all these doctrines of men.
I don't believe this. Stop it. Because some people, good Christians, believe Arminianism, and some good Christians believe it's a rapture, and some good Christians don't believe it. Careful what you say, Robert.
Well, they don't take the Bible literally. They've got their man-made presuppositions.
Yeah, but we don't know what those are. We don't know which ones are the real ones or which one are man-made. That's the problem we're trying to dig into. February 17th.
Okay, and this does teach on making disciples, actually, what you brought up first of the show. Saving souls and making disciples is not mutually exclusive, but is totally inclusive. Mm. We've got to save soul plus make disciples. A saved soul who isn't discipled is like a Happy Meal ready to be eaten by the roaring lion.
That was me. I got saved at the Billy Graham Crusade, and they drug me up, and the lions ate me alive for 40 years.
That's true. Weariness of heart doesn't discourage brave hearts. We will. Weariness of heart and soul will come with the calling as a true servant, saint, prophet, and soldier of God. We will be weary at times. Yet, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. David says, I can run upon a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall.
Amen. Let's sue the NFL. Go ahead.
That's right. King David was convinced that foreigners and enemies who opposed him would, fade away and come trembling out of their fortresses. The prophet Micah said, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me.
Amen.
Yeah, we need to claim that. The apostle Paul also was confident, even during difficult times, that his Lord would deliver him. He said, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed. Amen. And will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. For the resurrected Christ, the light, and the Holy Spirit, the oil, forever indwells our person and enlightens our path. We are lifted up to soar as eagles over the battlefield, with the enemy crushed under our feet while we sit seated in the heavenlies. When we have to engage the spiritual enemy in hand-to-hand combat, we do so with the sword, the word of truth, in the power of God, and by the weapon of righteousness for the right hand and the left, and with the full armor of God.
Amen.
Don't let the prince of darkness and roaring lion have you for lunch on the battlefield as his undeserved meal. Instead, hand him his deserved rebuke, a reward, a rebuke in the name of the Lord. And in the power of the Holy Spirit and with the authority of the Son of God and by the sword, the word of God, resist this enemy. We are to destroy his plague of lies, expose his crafty deceptions, extinguish his paralyzing threats, and spring his ensnaring traps. Calls for activism.
That's a mouthful right there, buddy.
Bring his traps.
Okay, now listen here. Listen, I hear you. I feel you. Bible says this: study to show yourself approved. Now, if you think what I presented to you today is heretical simply because it doesn't fit what you've been taught, don't get mad at me. Study to see which one of those you are going to believe. Because the Bible says that you are to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't say you are to agree with everything Coach Dave brings up, or you are to agree with everything your pastor teaches. The Bible says that you will know the truth, and you will be free if you know the truth. So search it out. Be curious. Arminians there, dispensationalism there, preterism's there. There's probably more. I don't even know. Catholics don't even have a view of it. I don't even think. Somebody help me out. I ought to get a Catholic theologian in here. I don't think they have an end time theology. I don't think. I don't know. I'm going to study that because I might be curious to know. I don't know about you guys. I love coming here every morning. I hope that the rest of your day, just like the rest of my day, I'm going to be scratching my head. Show me the truth, Lord. I want to know the truth. And I want to walk in the truth. God bless you. See you tomorrow.